Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We did it. We're back. I don't know if better than ever, but it was a great week off. A lot of things happened. We'll recap that coming up. Todd's here. Seton's here. Marv's here. Paulie, yours truly. New t-shirts there. Celebrating the Connecticut Huskies winning another national championship there. Big day for Marvin and merchandise in the DP Show store. Two new shirts celebrating the Huskies going back-to-back, plus a new Marvin t-shirt. Congratulations, Marvin.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be back.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. And the first hour brought to you by Meguiar's new hybrid ceramic wash and wax. You can do it in a bucket or a foam cannon. You can boost protection and have extreme water beating technology that takes you to the next level when you're washing your car or truck. Great folks at Meguiar's, reflect your passion. It is a Monday, best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Got a play of the day, got a poll question, and of course a stat of the day or two. The great Mike Tirico, who was on the call for the Masters on Sirius XM, will join us from Augusta as we close up shop on Scottie Scheffler winning his second Masters in the last 3 years and putting himself in some pretty select company. He's 27, fourth youngest golfer to have multiple green jackets behind Jack Nicklaus, who was a little over 25. Tiger was a little over 25, and Seve Ballesteros was a little over 26 years of age. But Scottie Scheffler, all he does is play great golf. There's nothing dynamic about him. It's almost that kind of water torture. It's just slow, it's steady, and he knows what he's doing when he needs to, and certainly that back nine. That's what you want to see. You want to see somebody go out and win a tournament. 4-under 68 in the final round, finishing at 11-under, winning his second Masters in the last 3 years. And this is what he had to say after winning.
I mean, how do you put this into words? You win the Masters, you're about to be a father for the first time. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, you're about to make me cry here in Butler Cabin. no, it's a very, very special time for both of us. I can't put into words what it means to win this tournament again. I really can't put it into words what it's going to be like to be a father for the first time. So I looking forward to getting home and celebrating with Meredith. And it's been a long week here without her, but I'm just looking forward to getting home.
Okay, we're not to the point where it's Scottie or the field the way we were with Tiger. But the early odds to win the PGA Championship, Scottie Scheffler is a big favorite. Then it's Rory, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, and Victor Hovland. All right, Seton, what's poll question we're going to start out hour one with?
Well, we might as well start right there. This one Paulie sent over. Would you leave the Masters on Sunday with the lead if your wife went into labor with your first child?
All right, here's Scottie talking about that with that exact question.
You and your wife, Meredith, are expecting your first child. You've maintained throughout the week, if you get a call, you're gone. Are you still saying that going into the final round?
Yeah, I'm sticking my word. You know, fortunately, I'll be here at the Masters for quite some time. And, yeah, I think you only have your first child once, so I'd rather be at home if that's going to happen.
It is true. You only have your first child once. But I know what Scottie's saying there. Would you have left? Let's say you get to the 10th hole. So he's taken, you know, the lead, he's on the 10th hole, it's right by the clubhouse, And all of a sudden, you get the call. She's going into labor. Todd, what would you do? You're leading the Masters. Your wife's in labor. It's time for you to go.
I think it's time to go.
You would go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially first child.
Seton O'Connor.
No, I'd stay.
Okay. Marvin?
I'd stay too.
All right. Paulie?
Okay, here's my answer. It's the second Masters for him and the first child. I would go. If we're flip-flopped and it was the second baby and the first Masters, I'm staying.
Okay.
So it's a sliding scale for me, baby scale.
Okay. I was fortunate that I was able to be there for all four of my children, but the last one was dicey on a Sunday night at SportsCenter. But, of course, that's obviously different. SportsCenter, far more important than winning a green jacket at Augusta. But I decided that I was going to miss SportsCenter that night. Sunday night, big night on SportsCenter.
Which is essentially the Masters of TV broadcasts.
Pretty much.
That Sunday night SportsCenter.
Yes, Paul.
All weekend watching the coverage, all the guys kept saying, he's going to walk off the course if he gets the call. Do you think, and it's hard, you'll never know the answer. Do you think at the turn, he gets a call with the lead, he would have actually walked off the course?
I don't know. He seems like a man of principle. And felt like that was going to be the case. I was there when Payne Stewart and Phil Mickelson were going head-to-head, and Phil was going to leave if his child was born. Payne ended up winning that tournament, that major, but I remember that was a big storyline throughout the week that Phil said, hey, I'm going to, even if I'm in contention, leading, winning, if my wife goes into labor, I'm leaving. Yes, Eden.
My wife has always sort of had this attitude of, you're working, go work. So I think, obviously, we would have talked about it, and if she was just like, no, I need you in the hospital, then I would have left. But knowing just the conversations we've had over the last 15 years, she's always kind of been like, this is what you do for a living, and we need you to go do that. So go work, and we can figure everything else out.
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with a hypothetical here. Would I leave if I was leading the Masters? I think Paulie brings up a great point. If it was my second child and it was my first Masters that I was leading, then I would have stayed. The first one, I mean, there's nothing like that. That first time, as long as there's no complications. Now, if you knew going into it that there could be complications, then I think you have to be there. But being there for the first one, you know, nothing like it. Yes, Eden.
It's such an interesting insight into how first children are treated versus everybody else in the family.
Yeah.
Because they are treated like, well, you know, you're the special one. Then there's the others.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, Paul.
I almost wish it would have gone the other way and it actually would have played out. At the 10, you know, Scheffler with the lead, cruising, would have got the call and left. He would have been a legend in an entirely different community. Like today on sports shows, they'll talk about Scottie Scheffler, second Masters, great golfer. But if he had done the other thing, it would lead to Today Show and Good Morning America and like Evening News. He'd be Father of the Year before having a baby even. He'd be Husband of the Year.
Yeah, but he'd still get criticized though. Like, hey, this is what you do. You're paid to do that. You're supposed to be out there. You should have known this. Like I could just see the reaction here of what people would say, how they would react. It's difficult, but it's individual choice there, that whatever you feel like you're comfortable with, your wife is comfortable with. Now, the people on the outside, they don't understand. What conversations have you had? But I get it. And the fact that it was sort of looming there, like let's say she goes into labor as he's walking up 18. Does he go, nope, I can't finish here. I mean, like, at what point do you say, okay, I got to stay? Or, you know, third hole, you might go, I got to go. Hey, 17 green. Plus, he's got to go to Texas. Like, she's not there.
Oh, she wasn't like one town over?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That changes a lot of it, too.
Yeah. It's not like she was there.
What if it happened like a Sunday morning and he sent his caddy first and then he plays a few holes, see if he's in contention?
Yes, Todd.
I kind of thought she was there and they could maybe set up some kind of birthing tent nearby where it's just, you know, depending on how far along the contractions are, you can just kind of skip over from the hole.
So Butler Cabin could be a Butler birthing cabin.
Exactly.
Like you could set something up there. Why Jim not? Nance is in there calling play-by-play.
Yeah, doula corner all of a sudden. You're like, hey, all right.
I like it.
She's getting the epidural.
Here he goes. And here's and it's a baby. Yes. Polite golf laws. And the patrons would surround What else?
Chubby little niner. Chubby little kid.
Chubby little niner.
Yeah. Let's see.
What else do you have?
We have also, which basketball program improved most?
Ooh.
Kentucky or Arkansas? We'll save that.
Yes. I like that one. A little spicy.
Yeah.
John Calipari going to Arkansas.
Yeah. That's a fun story.
Mark Pope going to Kentucky, coming back home. It's amazing. They sold out Rupp Arena for a press conference. There's no other place in college basketball. I mean, that's like SEC football, but it's SEC basketball. Mark Pope going there, and it felt like Arkansas won and Kentucky won. It was a win-win for both. And it felt like Coach Cal was going to jump before he was pushed, and you were able to bring in a former Kentucky player. And Coach Cal going to Arkansas. I like that he said, yeah, I went in to meet my team and there's no team. I said, okay, good luck, Coach.
Dude is always great for a soundbite.
He is.
There's always something coming that you're like.
Well, that's what,
no team.
That's what he had at Kentucky because they'd all leave and go to the pros. So he's used to that feeling.
Yeah, it's the roster turning over every year.
Yeah, it's just wild, though. USC gets Eric Musselman. Andy Enfield goes to SMU. I mean, it's just kind of crazy connecting the dots there. And Coach Cal had a really good friend who has a lot of money in the Arkansas community and probably said, you know what? Let me reach out to Cal and see if he's interested. And lo and behold, he was. And going to make a good salary there. And I think it was best for both that it was time for him to leave Kentucky. And you bring in Mark Pope, and felt like the fan base is excited. They're going to raise money for NIL, and they'll be ready to go. I'd be interested in the transfer portal. I'd love to see what Kentucky does in the transfer portal, because that's what we had been saying. Hey, you're great at one and dones, and they've made a lot of money, but you have underachieved more than any other coach has. With all the talent, you got one championship there. And look, I love Cal, but there's no excuses for that. With all that talent, you got one title. And, you know, it's been a one-and-done type philosophy here for quite some time. Other schools have adopted that same philosophy. But at some point, you know, Coach Cal had to realize, hey, I got to be a better coach. I got to be a better recruiter to get older players, seasoned players, veteran players, because that's who we're losing to. If you got to take your Kentucky players for 4 years or 3 years, okay, that's completely different. But this is one and done. You're there 6-7 months, and we've seen that happen, where you get bounced early. Yes, Eaton.
Do you think he changes that philosophy?
Yes.
In Arkansas? Yes. Well, I don't know if Arkansas,
he might have to,
is going to get the same players that Kentucky gets, just based on the name. I know it's him, too, as the coach,
yeah.
But I wonder if he has to change. You get one or two one-and-dones and then fill out an actual team around them.
Yes. I think that would be the approach that I would have.
UConn has showed the model on how to do this.
Yeah. But I think that's what I would try to do. There's the blueprint there. Now, not everybody can, you know, follow with what UConn did. I mean, Danny Hurley did a wonderful job, but there were some years there where he's, what, 18 and 14. Then all of a sudden, there's some magic here. I don't know how many teams, how many schools will go, that's what we're trying to do. All I know is every tournament, what happens? Somebody who's got like a junior season, senior laden tournament, they end up winning. They knock people off. It's rare when you have a Fab Five, you know, breezing through the tournament. It's just that kind of pressure. I don't care who you are and where you play and what conference you played in. We've seen that happen. All it takes is somebody who understands what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and, you know, a great coach as well. Every tournament, we have one of those teams, two of those teams, three of those teams where we go, how did they do it? And most of the time, it comes down to what? They had some experience. Yes, Marv.
At Arkansas, do you think the fan base will be satisfied with a Final Four appearance, or does it have to be a national title while Cal is there?
Well, they've won national titles before. But would I expect that? I would hope for that. I think that's the difference. Kentucky, you expect it. Arkansas, you hope for that. And hopefully that doesn't change, because then it'll be pretty tough on Calipari to go, hey, I couldn't win a title there, but they want me to win a title here. I just think the more he talks about developing players, going to the NBA, like, as if, you know, if I'm a fan of Kentucky, I'd be turned off by that. Great, those guys are making a ton of money. We want to win championships. That's what we want. That's what you're paid for. But, you know, Cal would say, I'm here to develop these players to get them into the NBA. Well, that philosophy got a lot of players a lot of money and got Kentucky one banner. Arkansas's philosophy, probably a lot different, but then their expectation level should be a little less than Kentucky's. I mean, Mark Pope walks in. It's not like they go, hey, why don't you just put up the numbers you did at BYU? Like, nope. I mean, you sold out Rupp Arena for a press conference. Do you think they're going, man, this is just a good, you know, feel-good story, and we're just happy to have you back and hope we get past the second round of the tournament? No. They want you to win. They expect you to win. It's not hope you win. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. Mike Tirico in about an hour from now. Some of the leftovers from the week that was while we were on vacation. We'll hope to hear from you coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut, the new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The original light beer, 1975. Miller Lite.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, 1975. Perfect companion for us grill masters across the United States. This past weekend, even Mother's Day, I'm treating myself while I'm treating my wife for Mother's Day. Out there cooking, and I've got my Miller Lite, my friend, right there with me. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. It's, you can't debate it.
I would try it. I would lose.
No, you can't. Taste as great as the barbecue you're making. The beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. It tastes like a beer. Less filling. Only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells great beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Mike Tirico, he's going to be hosting the Olympics in Paris coming up later on this summer. He was busy this weekend as he was doing master's duty for SiriusXM, and he joins us on the program. Why do you think the ratings were up for the Masters this year?
Getting the live guys and the tour guys back, it felt like it was the first big, big event of the year. The Players was a great event, but you have something missing. And I think sooner than later, they're going to need to get both sides back together. This sport is not big enough to split the pot.
What did you think was going to happen? Let's go back to Thursday or Wednesday.
In golf, so Bradle Chambly, who I know you've had on, Bradle says some outrageous, headline-grabbing things that don't often get said in the very nice world of golf commentary, and he said, "No, Scotty should win by 7 or 8 shots, and if he's got his best game, they'll brandle like easy, man." Like, but Scotty didn't have his best, and he won by 4. I got to do the Bay Hill Arnold Palmer tournament and the Players, and see Scotty win both of those, and watch most of Houston, where he missed a putt on 18 to get in the playoff. So he's first, second, and it's real. Like his ball striking, Dan, is so good. His scrambling is so good. And the one thing that was weak is putting. He got figured out. So I think we all expected Scotty to be the guy right near the top of the board. But I was still impressed with his dominance this week and his ability to win by that many, especially the way he played. Look, he played on the second nine like he's the number one guy in the world.
We always want to fast track somebody to greatness and put them in categories. Right. Now you're, hey, you're the next Jack. You're the next Tiger. You know, Scotty's 27. And there's nothing dynamic about him. You could say he's the golf equivalent to John Stockton. He just kind of shows up, does his job, doesn't care about really anything else, cares about his faith and his family. But are we ready to fast track, you know, Scotty?
Yeah. Two Masters in 3 years. So the one thing you're going to want to see is Scotty win outside of this stretch of the year. All of his wins have come from January to April. Now we're really nitpicking, right? But that would be the next step. Win a U.S. Open. He can contend in all of these tournaments. He can contend in Louisville at the PGA, being played at Valhalla the week after the Derby. So he's got all of that. I did the radio broadcast on Sirius XM and worked with Taylor Zarzer, who's a terrific guy and does a great job covering golf for them, and does college football and other stuff. I thought Taylor brought up a good one. Pete Sampras. Or NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
I thought those were really good. Like, defined excellence in many ways when you look at the record, stretches of dominance, but very low key. This is who I am. I'm not going to go seek every endorsement under the sun. Success will not change me. I'm just going to be this guy. Scotty's fun. Scotty's a nice guy to be around. Great humor, a great family, obviously deep in faith. But he's not going to be seeking the wow stuff that you get, even with a Bryson DeChambeau. So I thought all those, Stockton for you as well, those are really apt and good comparisons. That doesn't mean he's not great. It just means he's not Madison Avenue $1 million every time he turns around. And that's fine.
And it's kind of like Andrew Luck as well. Like, he didn't want endorsements, didn't really care, walked away from the game, and, you know, never really returned. We're talking to Mike Tirico, joining us in Augusta before he goes to Paris to get ready to host the Summer Games, Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
No, I'm not staying the entire time.
Oh, you're yet. Not? Okay.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'll be back. Back on Friday, actually. I'll be back in a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
It's 100 days out, so we kind of light the candle to get everybody ready. Today's show is going to have a bunch of the Team USA athletes on the plaza with Savannah, Hoda, Al, Craig, and the whole crew. I'll be in Paris, so it just kind of gets us going. I'll do a few things over there too in advance of going back, 12 weeks later for the games.
I love DeChambeau in the villain role. I don't know if he embraces the villain role, but he's good content.
He wears some of that black hat. There's no doubt about it. Content's the perfect word. Every sport has its little social media following and group of commentators. And I thought the ones on DeChambeau were dead on when they said, he's the best content provider, whether it's the drives or carrying the sign pole like he did. Hey, this is a temporary immovable object. I'm going to move it. And he just kind of carries it, moves it around. There's a little bit of villain, quote unquote. And I think anybody who went to live who's going to come back is going to be, if that happens, there's going to be a little bit of that role at varying degrees and levels. I think DeChambeau is interesting and unique. I think he's one of the most unique guys, certainly in golf and maybe in all of sport. He does things so different. Dan, he was using a set of irons that cost $10,000 to produce, one of a kind 3D printer made the irons. They weren't conforming, didn't fit the rules of the USGA officially until Monday. They had to be tested. So he does things to push the edges. Sport needs that. Every sport does, this one especially. I hope he's back playing with these guys soon because I think he's talented. He's very different, and he's very good.
The Tiger situation, he makes the cut again, but certainly stumbled towards the finish line, finishing last. I kept looking to see, was he injured? Was he limping? And I think he was honest afterwards, just said, look, I didn't play well. What did you take from Tiger's performance or lack thereof?
He's going to be impacted by his injuries for the rest of his career. He's got fused back and a fused ankle, right? It's kind of limiting in the world of golf. I think it's remarkable at 48, when he doesn't need another dollar to do this, he continues to want to try to compete as much as possible. I think Friday having to play 23 holes because we didn't get done on Thursday probably set him back. It was an early turnaround. It takes hours for him just to be ready to go play because of all he has to do is get his body to that point. But it's the first time in a regular event he's completed 72 holes in over a year. So I think that's a box to check and a positive. Says he wants to play in the other majors. We'll see if he does. But the fact that he's even talking about being able to do it is good. The two things I saw yesterday that were, to me, the coolest, because Augusta, as you know, you've been here so many times, it gives you like great feels, and it's really cool stuff. One was Tiger, who's known for being laser focused, stopping at 16 to walk over and say hi to Vern Lundquist when Vern was watching from down behind a tree there. It's just the ultimate sign of respect. I thought it was so cool that Tiger did that. And seeing Tiger's kid out in the tournament practice area with him, like holding a wedge, holding the shaft of a driver to have your hands fly under it. It's a drill that guys do often. It's just really cool to see because we both have been here, Dan, seeing Tiger's dad with Tiger. And now we're seeing Tiger with his son. And Charlie's like talking swing stuff with him. It's just, for one of the biggest athletes we'll see come across in our lifetime, to see this evolution and generational pass along, it was so cool. I'll take that with me for a long time.
Do you think Tiger's afraid of retirement?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, what do they tell everybody? Do it until they tell you you can't anymore, or you can't anymore if you really love it. And he is obsessed with the sport. So afraid of it in some ways, but I think as long as he can get himself out there and do it, look, Jack did.
Yeah, but what do you do when you retire from golf? Do you play golf?
You play golf. You talk about golf. You design golf courses, right? Yeah. You put out a line of golf clothes and shoes. And Jack's still out here talking golf and being a part of it. He visited with us this week. Tom Watson is. Gary Player is running around telling people, you need to do more sit-ups. You need to get in better shape. And he's in his late 80s, and he's like hitting tee shots and throwing that leg up in the air with that kick. So, yeah, it's a forever sport, and I think the association with it fuels and drives a lot of these guys. Other guys have other hobbies. I don't think Tiger has as many other hobbies as these guys do, like fishing or other stuff like that.
All right. Can we get a little bit of your master's voice before we say goodbye?
So this is interesting. Doing the radio, as I have for SiriusXM for the last, I guess, for the last 5 years, you have a commentary position that is right by the 18th green. I mean, from you to the Danettes to the 18th green, that far away. So when you go out there, and I only go out there for the last four holes, you do have to speak softly. So as Scheffler is about 20 yards from me getting over the putt, you have to do the Scotty Scheffler shuffles his feet, pulls the putter back and in, and then you've got to go match the crowd and you feel like a complete idiot. But that's why for years golf announcers whispered, because the towers were right over the greens and guys would look up and go, hey, I'm trying to work down here. What are you doing? Right. So, we don't have many towers that we do that anymore. They're all in closed booths, but that's the one situation that you've got to go, this is for birdie and the Masters. So there you go.
Have you been shushed before?
I have not. And I haven't done this very much in terms of being that close, but I'm shushless. I leave Augusta for the third consecutive Masters and four of the last five, sans shush.
What an incredible streak you're on, Mike. Congratulations. Hey,
you're brutal.
Safe travels to Paris. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks for making time.
Oh, all the time. Talk to you over the summer, bud. Be safe.
Mike Tirico. He was on the call for SiriusXM at the Masters. So he came up with Pete Sampras and Jimmy Johnson from NASCAR.
Oh, Sampras is a good call.
Very good call. Scotty Scheffler, that's the comparison. We talked about John Stockton, but Stockton didn't win championships. You know, Pete Sampras, I remember a long time ago, I spent a lot of time with Sampras, but I think he always thought that people wanted him to be more than what he was. He played exciting. He wasn't exciting. Whereas Agassi wasn't as decorated, but it was, you know, having style over substance. I remember when Agassi did his camera commercial, I think, and he had his long hair. But, you know, what we want out of our athletes.
Scheffler's a normal guy. He's just a normal person. But then, you know, a couple of years ago when Brooks Koepka was really hot and winning majors, he was starting to lean into the media and lean into being a bro.
His girlfriend at the time would take provocative pictures, and so there was, like, internet chatter about that.
But he was embracing the star role. Like, Dustin Johnson, when he was a hot golfer, he had a star power around him because of his girlfriend, Paulina Gretzky, but he never leaned into the interview part of it. So it was hard to get
him on. Think he was good. I don't think he's a good interview. Koepka turned out to be surprisingly good. Like, when he wanted to, he was good. But Dustin Johnson, I mean, certain guys just aren't interested in it. Or they're not comfortable saying things. Or they're worried about what they say gets, you know, somebody translates that. Ooh, speaking of which, Shohei Ohtani, I think baseball's talking to him today, and it feels like they're going to move on from that story.
Of course.
That they've heard everything they needed to hear, and that they're going to move on. Although, looking at the transcripts of his interpreter, and he would lose these bets. I don't know how much money, but it felt like these were big numbers that he was losing. And then he would say to the bookie, oh, gosh, I have the worst luck. Hey, can I get another bump? Can I make another bet? And then he would lose. And then he would say to the bookie, hey, this is it. This is the last time. Can I get another bump? And then he would lose that one as well. And then I think he loaded up again for one more. Now, the bookie only wants to know if you can pay. That's it. They want to know, do you have backing? You're going to place these bets. So at what point did the interpreter say, because his salary, I don't know what it was, but let's say 100 grand, you're not covering millions and millions of dollars. At some point, don't you have to say to the bookie, hey, I'm Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. I have money. Because I would not let you have another bump. If I'm a bookie, like, somebody has to co-sign, whether they literally co-sign or you're co-signing for them, which is what appears to have happened. Yes, Paul.
So Ipe Mizuhara, the report of the charges against him came out. So these are facts. These aren't speculative. He's accused of stealing more than $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. That's step one. In 26 months, December 21 to January 24, Mizuhara made 19,000 sports bets. Not one of them was baseball related, just to put that at bed.
Mm-hmm.
He won $142 million as a gambler. Unfortunately, he lost $182 million. So his total net losses were $40,600,000. He's only accused of stealing $16 million from Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still the question of where the other, you know, almost more than $20 million had come from.
Yeah.
So that's where we are.
Well, when we first started this, and then we had a gambling expert on who said that he probably bet $80 million. Now, he ended up losing this amount of money, but when we had somebody on from ESPN, and he said he probably bet upwards of $80 million. Now we realize it was far more than that. But to be able to do that, you have to, as a bookie, that bookie wants to know, can you pay this? They don't go, hey, man, that's a tough loss. Don't worry about the 500 grand that you owe me. That's all a bookie wants to know. But that desperation that he had is relatable. Now, if I'm betting 1,000 and I don't have 1,000, you know, that desperation sets in. He may be betting 100,000, but that desperation sets in. Now you're going to bet again, and now you're going to bet again. That's what happens in this world. Hey, it's just for entertainment, it's just for fun, until it's not. Now all of a sudden you're chasing. And when you chase gambling, when you're betting, you never catch up. It'll always sting you. At some point, that's what happened to him. Yeah, Paul?
People are having a hard time believing Shohei Ohtani did not know $16 million had been stolen from him. According to those ESPN reports, remember when they were in Korea, the accusation was Shohei was like, I'm just learning about this now. It wasn't worth $100 million a year ago,
yes.
Ohtani.
Yes.
He just started getting paid 2023, $30 million. In his career on the field, he had made about $14 million before 2022.
Yeah, that's – look, do I have questions? Yes. Do I think this interpreter was desperate? Yes. Was he signing for, co-signing for Ohtani? Perhaps. That's a lot of money to go missing, and nobody else has any kind of idea. There's no flags that go up? Anything with the bank? I don't know. That's where it's still puzzling here. Yes, Tom.
And that Ipe text to the bookie, I guess, Matthew Boyer, stood out for me. It says, technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me, is what Ipe put in the text to the bookmaker.
Yeah. Now you do a plea deal. I don't know. They serve jail time. Is he going to be able to make – is there restitution here? I don't know what else is next here. But I think baseball said that they were going to put this to bed – I think later today. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Searching for a job can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, nobody's on the other end, applications that vanish. It's time to find a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals, the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge a fee when they help you with your job search. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with the help of Express Employment Professionals. And Express helps you find all kinds of jobs, manufacturing to logistics, customer service, accounting, and so many more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call. And with just one application, Express Employment Professionals will have you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier. Let the professionals help at Express Pros. Express Employment Professionals, it's your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today, and good luck. Couple of more phone calls coming up on the program. Let me see. Sam in Alaska. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. And I just wanted to weigh in on the whole favorite child thing you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We've got five adult kids now, so it's been a discussion over the years. And what I finally decided was, yes, I do have a favorite, but it's a fluid concept. So it's all about what have you done for me lately?
Okay. I don't have a sliding scale with my kids. I treat them all the same, and I don't have a favorite. Now, there are times when one child might be my favorite for one thing or another. Maybe they did something really well, or they got a promotion, or maybe they did laundry or something. The bar's not too high. It's just like, yeah, maybe contribute a little bit. Yes, Paul?
When your children were younger, did you discipline them all the same way to try to be fair, and did they take it different ways?
You discipline differently. I think when you start out, you don't even know what you're doing. And then you pick your moments. I always felt just if I spoke in a little bit more reserved tone, oh, I got my message across to my daughters. I'd be like, I'm really disappointed. Boom. That's all you need. My son, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. For about 3 years there, it didn't matter. My wife and I were like, I don't know. I don't know. What are you going to do? She'd be like, I don't know. Like, it got to the point where, and I think I've told this story. My wife hates when I tell this story. But my son, we had four kids in a seven-year period. And my wife is getting the kids breakfast. They're going to school. And my son wanted a certain type of egg. And he kept saying, I want this. I want, Mom, I want this. And I have, my three daughters. And my wife finally said, okay, you want your eggs? And she grabbed the eggs and smashed them off his forehead. Three of them. Boom, boom, boom.
How old was he again?
He was probably maybe eight, seven or eight. Boom, 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 right off his forehead. That settled that. Here's your egg. And I'm like, okay. It's like my mom hit my brother with a pan because he wanted something when we were growing up. And she kept the pan. It had a dent in it to remind us, be careful if you're going to sass back. Now, you can't do those things now. At least it's frowned upon. But I just remember we'd see that pan and I'd be like, damn, don't want to cross Mom. Kurt in Michigan. Hi, Kurt. What's on your mind today?
Dan, welcome back. Welcome back. You have saved 3 hours of my day again.
Well, thank you, Kurt.
Hey, boy, this is family advice. Now I've got some other, I need some other advice. My nephew has asked me to be MC at his wedding. And I don't know, do I go serious? Do I sprinkle in jokes?
Well, wait, help me out, Kurt. What does MC mean?
Well, I announce at the reception.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
At the reception. Sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Announcing bride and groom, announcements, whatever. So.
Okay. But once you announce the wedding party, then what else do you do?
Moderate. He hasn't told me yet whether they have open mic or not.
Moderate? Is there a Q&A?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Kurt. I'm not sure of the setting here, the environment. I would just play it straight. No inside jokes where somebody's going, what does he mean? Or I don't understand that. I would try to do it in a fun way. You know what? The enthusiasm, the tone in your voice is what's going to be great. But I wouldn't try to, don't go live at the improv there. That would be my advice. Yes, Seton.
Kurt, are you a stand-up comic or in comedy in any way in real life?
Marvin just hung up on it. Oh.
Then I would say, if the answer to that is no, then don't make jokes.
Even if you are a stand-up comedian, pick your spots. Less is always more when it comes to a wedding reception. By the way, the bride looks beautiful.
Of course.
The mother of the bride looks beautiful.
But you can't say, you got to even say it just like you said. She looks beautiful. You can't say, and Joan over there is holding up well.
Yeah, decent.
Keeping it together.
Yeah, if I wasn't married, I might go after that. Like, you can't do any of those funny things about the mother-in-law.
You want a formaldehyde drip? You're looking good for your age.
Botox?
Yeah. Just always be careful of trying to be too funny. Because you always go too long. If you give the speech, for you best man out there, cut it in half. Don't do Todd, okay? Don't be Fritzy. 3 minutes max. Tell a really good story, compliment, and then get the hell out. Yeah. You're not as funny as you think you are.
Accurate.
And the more you drink, you're less funny.
Accurate.
And even though I'm drinking more while listening to you, having been drinking more, you're still not funny. Always go split it in half. You can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong. Yes, Paul.
If during the middle of your speech and your stories, you say the phrase, to make a long story short, that means you failed. You failed.
Yes. And does anybody really make a long story short? They go long and then realize they went too long, and then they say, to make a long story short. No, you made a long story longer. That's all you did. Yes, Todd?
That's a fact.
Thank you.
Oh, right in and out. Nice job, Todd.
I like it.
I kept it nice and brief.
Rob in Orlando. Hi, Rob. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, guys. Glad to have you back. I got a best and a worst for you. Best of the weekend was seeing Allen Iverson get his tiny trophy installed, not at the arena, but appropriately at the practice facility. Yes, practice. And the worst of the weekend was last Saturday, not this past one, in our church rec league basketball. I broke my leg, and as I'm swearing on the floor, I go into shock, not because of my leg, but because I realize, oh, crap, I don't have the DP show next week. So thanks, guys.
All right, well, got another captive audience here. Broken leg, can't go anywhere. That's right in our wheelhouse. Hey, you can't get up and change the channel? We're the show for you. Barry in Santa Fe. Hi, Barry. Welcome back.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. I have a name for that golfer's son.
Okay.
Putts.
Putt?
P-U-T-T-S.
Oh, Putts.
Kessler.
Putz Teffler.
Kind of has a negative connotation.
It does,
a little bit.
Because if I called you a putz,
I'd be hurt by that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a negative.
It'd be kind of mean, yeah.
What's
like you're a dope or something. Like you said or did something stupid, you'd be a putz.
So a putz would mean you're a dork. Is that what it is?
Yeah, along those lines. I'd even go as far as to say that like being a putz is kind of being kind of dumb and stupid.
Like a knucklehead?
And, yeah.
Okay.
Ignorant.
Okay. Well, I can't call you ignorant because you graduated second in your class of 600.
My wife likes to remind me this: the high school I went to wasn't that big a deal. There probably wasn't that many smart kids there. She likes to tell me
but
that.
Still, there were 600 kids.
I think a few of them must have been bright.
Yes. And you ended up cheating in high school.
I checked some midterm chemistry questions.
You did
with
cheat.
My friend,
you
Greg.
Did cheat. You did cheat. When we were on vacation, it was announced that O.J. Simpson had passed away. I did not know that he was battling cancer. And, you know, when I think back on O.J., I have mixed emotions here because I remember watching vividly in the late 60s when he is running in the Rose Bowl, and I had not seen somebody run like that. Gale Sayers was similar, but I'd not seen anybody like that. He just had this ability to sort of be floating when he was running and then goes into the NFL, rushes for 2,000 yards. And, was part of, Juice and the Electric Company in Buffalo. And then he had commercials. I mean, he was so well-liked by middle America, everybody. They loved O.J. Run, O.J., run. And, you know, a lot of people don't remember that person, but I have to factor in everything if I'm thinking about him. I've talked about, you know, my interview that I had with him after, the murder trial, the uncomfortable moments that I had during that interview with O.J. But when you think of reality TV, I think reality TV started with O.J. Simpson because all of a sudden we had a live police chase, a slow chase in the white Bronco, and you're watching this. So this is during, I'm at the NBA Finals, and I remember we had one monitor with the NBA game on, at the Garden, and then you had the other one with O.J. And I'm watching O.J., even though I'm there to cover the NBA Finals. And, you know, Al Cowlings, he had played at USC, best friends, and he's driving the car. And, you know, we're wondering, you know, where's he going and why is he doing, you know, what's, if he didn't do it. And, you know, so all of this stuff kind of factors in. But then everybody sort of became a reality star. I don't remember anything else in my lifetime where, you know, Cato Kaelin became part of the reality star world. All the lawyers there and Johnny Cochran and Judge Ito, like they all became reality stars. And it took over a year for that trial, I believe. And then everything that happened after that and what it spawned. And the fact that Kim Kardashian's dad was on the legal team with O.J., and then all of a sudden, you see what that led to with the Kardashians. But I just remember with O.J., when he was found not guilty, and I was playing golf that day in Hartford with some of the members of the Hartford Whalers, and we went into the grill room, and we watched the verdict, and we were just like, how did that happen? But it did. But it felt like it was a reality show. And then years, passed and OJ was supposedly looking for the killers while playing golf constantly. Got put in prison for what happened in Vegas when he was trying to get his memorabilia back. He would have his Twitter world things that he would say.
It's a bad day for people who do impressions of OJ.
Yeah. I ran into Cato Kaelin in Vegas at Shadow Creek. We're playing golf. He's with Norm MacDonald. And, like, you're just thinking, how did this happen? But it did. It's I think where reality TV was born, for better or worse. Yeah, Seton.
The dude actually had audacity isn't even the right word.
Yeah.
But just the fact that he wrote a book called If I Did It.
I know.
Confessions of the Killer, a hypothetical account of how he would have done it if he had.
No, just a pathetical. Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
He never read the room. He was always the most important person in the room. Imagine you love somebody so much that you kill them. Like he loved her, but he killed her.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want anybody else with her. And then whether he acted alone, which I don't think he did, but still, I remember he tried to tell me during the interview that, you know, he didn't do it. And I just said, I don't want to hear it. Because, you know, that's where we had the awkward moment when we're not on camera and he says to me, do you think I did it? And then I said, did what? And then he said, kill those two people. And then I said, yes. And then we started up the interview right after that. But, we tend to see OJ in that light. We forget what he was before that. And it's not that we should remember that, but I do. I how big of a star he was, just the context of telling somebody's life story. It's easy to jump to the very end. But, look, I was right there and appreciating O.J. Simpson, the football player. I met him a couple of times personally outside of that interview that I did when he was working for NBC. Just bizarre. And then who he's calling, and he's trying to get a hold of Bob Costas, who's on the air at the time with NBC, and who's visiting him in prison, and just wild, wild. Yeah, Paul.
It really does feel like we're speaking about two different people. Because before the day that the killings happened, he was one of the more popular celebrities, like where he enjoyed being a celebrity. You'd see him on TV shows, he enjoyed it.
He was in movies.
And I'd heard from people saying, like, if you walk up to him for an autograph, he'd give you the time, he'd give you the picture. He was a American celebrity that loved being it, and we liked him. He was in TV shows and movies. And Monday Night Football, it didn't work out great, but he was on it because he was such a likable guy.
And yeah, he wasn't a good broadcaster, but he was so charismatic. And you look back on that, and he had everybody fooled, because then I started asking questions. I'm at the NBA Finals. It's at halftime. And I'm asking somebody who was a friend of OJ. I said, would you come on camera? And he said, no. But he said he used to beat her all the time. And I remember hearing that from this person. I was so disappointed that he didn't. And maybe it's not fair, but in the moment, I'm thinking, why didn't you say something to somebody? But, I mean, it's just all surreal. Surreal. You're in an NBA Finals, and I'm asking if I can do interviews with certain people about OJ. And everybody said no. Everybody did. All right. Last call for phone calls. What we learned, what's in store tomorrow after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The utterly inspired all-electric EQE sedan from Mercedes-Benz. With hundreds of customizable comfort settings inside the cabin, it's the EV that recharges you. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE.